It'll be on the screen. If you want to follow it in the Bible, find it on page 211 in the New Testament. Shining the lights in the world. Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and arguing, so that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, in which you shine like stars in the world. It is by your holding fast to the word of life that I can boast on the day of Christ that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. But even if I am being poured out as a libation over the sacrifice and offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. And in the same way, you also must be glad and rejoice with me. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just sung that you are worthy of it all. And Lord, we hear the words that we must do all things for you are worthy of it all. Heavenly Father, as we think about these verses, as we continue to look at the letter to the Christians in Philippi, will you open our hearts and our minds? And Lord, will we be ready to receive all that you want to speak to us, to share with us, to transform us more and more into your likeness, having the same mind as you. Amen. Shining as stars in the world. What do you feel like when you look up at the sky and it is full of bright, shining stars? What does it make you feel like? Wonder, awe, beauty, gladness, solitude, or maybe a totally different emotion. But something moves us, doesn't it, when we look up and see a sky full of stars? Why are people drawn and fascinated by stars? Some people making their money out of looking at stars. Why is it that so many people spend a lot of money to go and see the Northern Lights? Or maybe spend hours awake when we hear that they're going to hit our own land? To catch a glimpse of that majesty and splendor on our cameras. At boarding school as a child, our headmistress's husband was fascinated and had great knowledge of stars. And to her great irritation, she would wake up the oldest lot of us in our dormitory. Wouldn't be allowed today. I promise you, it was only to look at the stars. But we loved going out with him to look at the stars as he told us which one they were. And he always had a narrative around each story. In Scotland, where I was brought up, in the middle of a glen, the sky is very dark, but the stars shine bright. And our scripture reading today Paul tells the Christians in Philippi that they should shine like stars in the world. As I was contemplating these verses, and especially the theme, shining like stars in the world, I had a picture. In fact, I had this picture when I was walking yesterday with Bella. I had this picture as I was thinking of these verses of God's kingdom today breaking through into the dark night of today's world, where Christians, followers of Jesus Christ, shone as powerfully as the northern lights, spreading amazing, awesome colour, beauty, splendour, and majesty, providing people with just a glimpse of what it is to live for God. Or as the Message translation says, carry the light-giving message into the night. A couple many years ago chose these verses for their reading at their wedding and asked me to do their prayers. It was long before I was ordained, and I can remember thinking, what a strange verses to have at your wedding. But as I was praying for them and preparing the prayers, I realized that it was their desire that as a married couple, as they went into the world as a married couple, they wanted to shine like stars wherever God would lead them. Well, Archie is now the vicar of Holy Trinity Brompton, and his wife and himself continue to shine like stars for those who do not know God. And I think there's much in these verses that we need to unpack and put into action if we are to be God's shining stars in the world. So last week we were thinking about imitating Christ's humility, and Paul was encouraging the Philippian Christians to have the same mind as Christ, followed by that beautiful song or poem illustrating what the humility of Christ looks like. And because of Christ's humility, verse 9, if you remember, says, therefore, because of Jesus' humility, he highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. And in verse 12, here it begins, therefore again. Another therefore. One commentator suggests that God's therefore in verse 9 is matched to the Christian's therefore in verse 12. Just as God assessed and then reacted to the worth of his son's humility, his son's obedience even unto death, so the Christian must ponder the example of Christ and determine upon a worthy response also. Therefore, we need to remember that earlier in the chapter, in verse 4, Paul has stressed the crucial importance of right relationships between individuals within the church fellowship. And if it was to stand firm in the threatening world that it was in, there must be unity, the same mind of Christ, who was totally obedient to his Father, even unto death itself. Therefore, says Paul, in effect, let me tell you how to react, to respond, if the great goal of wholesome relationships in the likeness of Christ is to be reached, and for you to shine like stars in the world. Now, these verses are a mixture or entwinement of both action and reassurances. When we choose to follow Jesus, as we grow more into his likeness, our lives are a blend of rest and of activity. Not alternating from one or the other, but where we are confidently resting in God, what God is already doing within us. For example, we read, God is at work in us. We are his children. We are his lights. And action, obey, work out, do all things, be blameless, shine, hold fast. So if you want to follow, it's Philippians 2, 12 to 18 in the New Testament. I haven't got the actual thing in front. But anyway, let's look at verses 12 to 13. Paul exhorts the Philippians first to be obedient, just as Christ was obedient even as far as death. Be obedient. You have always obeyed me, but go on doing it even if I am not present with you. Secondly, take responsibility for your faith. Now, the slight disagreement here amongst scholars, whether this is working out our own personal faith or whether it's a more corporate action of the church's faith, personally, I don't think it matters. I think it should be both. But it's something we must do. So what, you might ask, what does working out our salvation mean? Well, I don't think it's very complicated. It means that we must obey Christ and do his will. We must continue to follow Christ's example given to us earlier in this chapter and become more like him. I've been working through the Sermon on the Mount since in the new year. Jesus says in Matthew 5, 48, be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. And thirdly, our work is to be sensitive. We're to work it out with fear and trembling. Now, this is not a fear of trembling before a masochistic and judgmental God. No, it is not. But it is a fear that someone has said that we can lose at our peril. Godly fear should grow out of our recognition of our weakness and our sinfulness. It's a fear of offending and hurting God. We all stumble and go astray. We all do. But I wonder how much are we aware of that hurts our Lord. This fear is more like a small child not wanting to upset or displease a loving parent. Nor do we want to hurt our loving Father. And the good news is that we can be obedient, work out our salvation with fear and trembling, because God is already at work in us, enabling us, we read, both to do his will and to work for his good pleasure. But it comes all through God's grace. And we are free to reject God's grace. We can continue to sin without repenting, and sometimes we do. God never pushes himself on us. We all have a choice. But if we choose to accept his grace and strive to obey all things, he will, by his Spirit, help us to become more like Jesus. I believe when he sees us shining like stars in the world, it brings him great pleasure. So to verses 14 to 16, this is where comes another challenge from Paul. He says, do all things. Do all things. Because as God is doing all things in us, so we must do all things in him. And I find it fascinating that Paul doesn't specify anything which we are, in fact, to do. He does not outline a course, but he calls for a kind of action rather than a course of action. Without murmuring and arguing or without grumbling or questioning or bickering, as other translations put it. Neither does he specify a rule of life, but a sort of person who's blameless and innocent and without blemish. And he focuses attention not on our social environment, but on social contrast, a crooked and perverse generation among whom you should shine as stars. I find these verses exceedingly challenging because the reality is that God can see what is going on inside me. I can hide my feelings from all of you and from my family and from my friends, but I can't hide my feelings from God. Doing all things without murmuring and arguing is not only about not doing it out in the public square, so to speak, but it's what's going on in our inner hearts as well. And it's what's going on in our hearts and minds that manifests in our outward behavior, which, let's be honest, is not always blameless, innocent, and without blemish, even as God's children. So is it any wonder that often the outside world will call Christians hypocrites? Because what they see and or witness are not good and godly behavior, but behavior that belongs to the crooked and perverse dark world that we live in. The Church of England is not in a good place now. Quite rightly, the institution is being challenged and criticized for ungodly and in sometimes evil behavior. And the stars may be looking very dim or not existent at this time of the church's life to many people. But God is a God who will never give up on his people. And it must start with us as individuals and us as part of God's family, for we are his children. Last year, we looked at what it meant to be Jesus' apprentices, to be with him, to become like him, to do as he does. To be his apprentices. And I think these verses are asking the same of us, to be blameless, innocent, children of God without blemish, to shine as stars, taking the light of Jesus Christ out in the world by holding fast to the word of truth. Blameless. This refers to comments that someone might make or pass on us, meaning that we are beyond reproach. Innocent, that perhaps might be a comment that we make upon our own selves, knowing what's going on in our own inner hearts and minds. Some Christians don't think it matters what others think of them. They're God's children, so that's that. But for Paul, it does matter, and I think it matters for our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is keen that no one should have good cause to condemn the Christians in Philippi to whom he is writing. It is about working out our salvation, becoming more like Christ. In other words, Paul is saying, you are like what you are inside. Perhaps what you're like at home or in secret should mirror what you're like in the open square and in the public place. If we struggle, which many of us do, with anger and bitterness and envy and insecurity and bad language and gossip, rudeness, impatience, and host of other attitudes and emotions that do not belong to the kingdom of God, and we brought them into our lifelong journey with Christ, we need to deal with them through prayer or counselling or bringing them into the light of Christ for healing. Because we cannot remain victims of our past life if we truly want to shine like stars in the world for God. Not only does Paul encourage the church in Philippi to shine as stars in the world, but he tells them to hold fast to the word of life. That's the word of God, so that he may boast on the day of Christ that he did not run in labor or in vain. So we're to be stars shining in the world, and we are to be messengers proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. What use is it as if we shine as stars but do not share the living word, or share the living word and do not shine as stars in the world? Last Thursday, the gospel reading was about when Jesus sent out the 12 disciples to preach and heal and to drive out demons. He told them to take nothing for their journey because they were to rely totally on God and also on the hospitality that was offered to them. And they were to stay and they were to share the good news of Jesus Christ. But if people did not receive their message, what were they to do? They were to shake off the dust of their feet and leave. I told the 11 o'clock service a story when I invited my half-sister and her fiancé to supper many, many years ago when I worked at the House of Commons. And I also invited a friend called Chris Russell, who you might remember has come here and preached in the past. Chris then worked for Paul Broting MP. He's now Lord Broting. And my half-sister's fiancé, after a little bit too much wine, was very arrogant and began to say rather racist remarks about Paul Broting. And after a very short time, Chris got up, shook the dust from his feet, and walked out of my small flat. The next day, he said to me at the House of Commons that he could not take that sort of behaviour and was very disappointed in me that I had allowed it in my house. Thank goodness that was not the end of the story, because my half-sister and I were mortified. And so we arranged that her fiancé and Chris would meet up at the House of Commons on the terrace for a nice drink. During this time, I believe Chris shone like a star in the world for our Lord. He held fast to the word of life as he drew alongside. There was repentance, there was forgiveness, there was reorientation towards God. And Tom, who had recently walked out of an Alpha course, decided to go back and finish the Alpha course. And in years to come, he was to get ordained, and he's now a canon at Ely Cathedral. This story could have had a very different ending if Chris that night had tolerated this ungodly behaviour for the sake of not embarrassing me. But I saw someone who was being obedient to his Heavenly Father, who he loves so much. He was witnessing what it is to keep working out one's faith with fear and trembling, enabling God to do his work in him, even in a really difficult situation. And Sophie's fiancé, he witnessed someone who was different. In fact, they became quite good friends. He was attracted to this person who didn't murmur and argue that evening. He didn't argue against Tom. He walked out. He was blameless, I believe, innocent, and without blemish. And he really shone bright for Jesus at that moment in that dark place of racism and arrogance. I believe he saw the majesty and power of Christ break into his small, dark world and flood it with the beauty of the light of the world, a real aurora moment, a Jesus moment when light overcame the darkness of this world in that small moment. And lastly, Paul says to the Philippians, and even if I die, remember he's in prison at this time of writing and probably was facing execution, he says, I will still rejoice as I have seen your service and sacrifice to God when I was with you. And I continue to hear it in my absence. Paul is ready to offer his life and service of Christ because he knows that through his death, Jesus will be glorified. But he says, as I rejoice with you, so must you be glad and rejoice with me also. If Paul is urging the Christians in Philippi to shine like stars and proclaim the word of life, how much more is Jesus asking of us today? So are we prepared to be used as part of the beautiful picture of God? It's not easy. It is sacrificial. There's work to be done in our lives and in the body of Christ if we are to shine for Christ. But what would our parish, our community, our front lines look like if people were mesmerized, awe-inspired, bowled over by the beauty and the majesty and splendor of Jesus Christ manifesting in our lives? Imagine us being the stars that shone so brightly people had to shade their eyes. From the glory of God seen within us. Do you believe that we can be such people? I do, because God has called us. And if we've accepted his invitation, we are his beloved children. And God, by his Spirit, is at work in us, enabling us to do his will and to do his work for his good pleasure. I believe it because I see many of you already being those stars shining in this dark world. So let us go. Reveal his light as we shine as stars in the world for his glory and for the building of his kingdom here in Laich and Saltney Ferry and in the city of Chester and beyond. Let's just be still and let's allow the Holy Spirit who is amongst us to speak to us. How can we shine as stars for Jesus Christ this coming week?